Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. And it appears that I do not have a connection or I cannot hear exactly what's going on. Okay. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We're sorry for that delay. Every once in a while we have a technical difficulty, and we do apologize for that. We're going to start off with prayer, then we're going to move on over. We're in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, with Minister Cassandra Ricks this evening, and we're going to turn it on over to her after we have prayer. Of course, for those of you that tuned in by Internet, if you would like to call in, we are an interactive Bible study. What is an interactive Bible study? An interactive Bible study is an opportunity for you to call in, and you can participate. You can participate by calling in with any of the speakers or any of the those who have tuned in at this time. Amen. So the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you will be connected. Our mics are usually hot. Amen. But we'd like to ask that those of you who have tuned in, please make sure that your mics are potted. Your mics are potted on your phone or however you're calling in, because we can hear everything in the background. Amen. And we want to make sure that there are no distractions for the speaker at this time. We'd like to lift up in prayer Pastor Paul Robinson, who is located out of Tennessee. Amen. We'd like to ask for prayer for him. There is Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta. We are asking for prayer for him. We are also asking prayer for Tanette Dickinson out of Alabama. And we have a praise report for Stuart Hawthorne, who is in the nursing home. And, of course, you know, we constantly lift him up in prayer. He had an operation yesterday, and his operation was successful. He had a major operation, and it was successful. So we just give honor to God for a successful operation. Amen. And we do thank you for your prayers. We continue to ask you for continued prayers. Amen. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I do believe that where there's two or three that come together in prayer for one or whatever reasons, that God is in the midst. Amen. I truly believe that. So that's why it is important for the saints or the body of Christ to pray for one another. Amen. As we lift those up in prayer, let us go in prayer. Gracious God, you're calling me to a new beginning, to a fresh call of discipleship. You're asking me to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. It was at my baptism that you claimed me as your child. Today, I affirm that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I surrender my will, my desire, and my life to you, O God. I commit myself to your call of discipleship, to pray frequently, study your word diligently, worship you regularly, invite others to a life of discipleship. Encourage Christians in their life of faith, serve those in need, and give joyfully of the gifts that you first gave me. These things I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for healing, we thank you for ministering to all those that we've lifted up in prayer. And Lord Father, we ask that you would continue to work with them, whatever their desires are, Heavenly Father, that you would work on their behalf. Amen. And they would come with a praise report. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on over into North Carolina. Amen. We're waiting for Sister Ricks. Are you there? Sister Ricks.
Yes, I'm here. I have my phone muted. I'm sorry.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I know how that goes. I've done that myself. I talked for about 3 minutes and realized that my phone was on mute. So I do understand that. But anyhow, we're going to move out of the way and let the Lord use you as he has chosen. Amen. So we're turning on, get on over to you in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Amen. God bless. Can everybody hear me well tonight? Am I clear? Okay.
Yes, you're very clear.
Well, I thank God for this opportunity tonight. The scripture I'm coming from is in Leviticus. It's in the Old Testament, chapter 20 And it's verse 8, and it reads, "Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." And the name for the Lord who sanctifies us is Jehovah Makordash. And what Jehovah means, the word, just like I said, Jehovah Makordash means the Lord who sanctifies you, the one who makes you holy. And Jehovah translates from the Hebrew text to the existing one, meaning to be or to exist. It also suggests to become. Also, the word Makordash from the Hebrew text, it means sanctify, to make you holy, to dedicate. Sanctification is a separation of an object or a person to the dedication of something that is holy. Okay? So the Lord who sets us apart. And what I was noticing in Leviticus, I think it's a good thing to go back to the beginning, you know, to find out what's going on, you know, why did they write it and what was the purpose of it. But what I got excited about was that Jehovah Makordash, the Lord who sanctifies us, he's the one who makes us holy. He's the one that makes it clear, and he alone can do it. Not the law, not the people that we're around, not our pastors or nobody else, only him and his Holy Spirit can make us holy. And I just thank God for that. You know, man can sow a seed, but only God can bring forth the increase. And I just thank him for that on tonight. But as I go back to Leviticus, it starts off talking about the book of Leviticus, and it was written, the purpose of it was written for the priests and the Levites, outlining their duties and worship and a guide for holy living for them. The author of this is Moses, and what was going on during that time was people were they were just a second. The people, they were exhibiting some behaviors that God was not pleased with. And the holiness code was set for Israel in the book of Leviticus. The word holiness is mentioned 152 times throughout this particular book in the Bible, Leviticus. It also points out in the book of Leviticus, the laws and the penalties, and those that did not abide would, those that would not abide alone with the laws, they were stoned and things like that. And they created the laws because people were worshiping false gods. The gods at that particular time, one of the ones was Molech. And what they were doing, they were offering children up as sacrifices. And they were just, you know, doing a whole lot of ungodly things, like having sex with the children, burning the children. They also were doing a lot of incest, unnatural lust. They were sleeping with animals. And they were so eager to know what the future hold. Instead of them consulting God, they were going to witches and different things. They were just doing a whole bunch of rituals and behaviors that God was not pleased with. And they were worshiping the wrong God. They were listening to the wrong God. And they were trying to please the wrong God by killing children and sacrificing children. And when I think about that, and I think about the God they were serving, Molech, it made me think about molestation. And when we look around the world, we're seeing people doing all kinds of things to children. You know, people put babies in the oven, and they just doing all kinds of ungodly things to children. And it just reminded me that it's nothing new to God. People been doing this stuff for a long time, and God just said that he set a code, and he makes us holy. But also, the book was written to the priests and the Levites, like I said before. And in the chapter that we're going over, chapter 20, it talks about the rules and the standards for the people and why God had to set the standard. Also, it made me, when I was reading this, it made me think about when Isaac offered his son up for a sacrifice, but Isaac was in tune with the right God, because when he took his son up to put him on the altar for the sacrifice, God commanded him to do something else, and Isaac was obedient. And also in the text, what I was noticing about the holiness, you know, when God set the code for holiness, if God give us a standard or set the code for us, he's given us the power and grace to live by it and to achieve the things that he set forth for us to do. So when I looked at holiness and what that meant and what God wanted us to do, it made me think about the sanctification process for the believer. And the sanctification process is an act or process of being made holy. And there are different transitions that we have to go through as believers in order to achieve the goal that God has for our lives. Amen? Any questions? Hello?
Amen. We're still here.
Okay.
We can tell that you're doing your homework. We can hear you.
Okay. I was on mute. You have any questions, Pastor?
No, ma'am.
Anything?
No,
any comments?
I'm just listening along. No comments. We're just moving forward. And just
So as I'm thinking about Isaac, I'm thinking about, thank God that somebody was listening to the right guy. And these people at this time in Leviticus, they were not listening to the right guy. They were listening and worshiping Molech at the time. And so going back to the sanctification process, sanctification is set up in stages. The sanctification of a believer has like three rams. It's a positional, progressive, you know, also ultimate sanctification, which is like where you're moving. And I kind of think about elementary school when I think about the sanctification process and what I study. It's like you go grades K through 5. Here in North Carolina, that's how we do it. And then you move on, and then you get to middle school. So one of the sanctification processes is the foundation. It's just given us by grace. When we accept the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives, is, you know, God gives us this, which is the positional sanctification. It's just the foundational part where we just start believing we're coming into the faith. But as we continue to grow in God's word and we begin to study God's word and it begins to renew our mind with what the scripture says, right? The scripture says the word begins to renew our minds. Then we start to grow into the progressive phase of sanctification. And the progressive phase means that we're working more towards being obedient. We're understanding, we're comprehending the things of God, and the Holy Spirit is helping us with the unconfessed sin in our lives. We're able to see ourselves. As introspection is what helps us with this sanctification process, when we look at ourselves and the Holy Spirit allow us to look at ourselves and see our wrong. Because David used to cry out all the time in his prayers in the book of Psalms about, Lord, search me, search my heart. And God is the only one that can see our hearts, and he see that hidden, those hidden motives and things that we have. And he allows the Holy Spirit to convict us of it, so we confess and we can be made whole and we can be cleaned up through the sanctification process. So he can use us, because being a believer in the gospel, we have to be conformed into God's image. So we have to represent his character. And we can't be behaving and participating in the unnatural lust and all this other stuff and think that we're holy, because we're set apart. Jehovah Makodesh means to set us apart. And just as I stated earlier, God would not give us this. He would not give us these rules and regulations if he was not going to give us his grace to help us through it. So with this sanctification process, our character is always on the line with being assassinated. You know, we have to be reading our words. We have to be rightly dividing the word, and we can't be so critical with judging other people that are new believers within the gospel. We have to always give with love and with grace, just as God has given us, so that they can grow and transform into the people that God would like for them to become, because he created us and he formed us when we were in the womb. He formed us,
right,
and he called us
right
when we were formed in the womb. So the calling is out there. The calling is on our life from birth. But we have to accept the call, and we have to be transformed in our minds, because we're born in sin and we're shaped by our environment. And we have to go through this sanctification process so we can mature in Christ. And that's what that second part is, the progressive part. And I consider that as like going to middle school, going on over into high school, where you're learning things, and it's a building foundation where you're constantly learning yourself, and you're dying daily to old things. Amen.
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 And then the ultimate stage is where you are glorifying God with your life. You have made a secure connection. You're hearing from him, and nobody, people still have to feed you from other believers, because we cannot stop assembling ourselves together with other believers, because that's where strength comes from. That's where we learn,
right,
and rightly divide the word and pray for each other so we can become empowered. But that's when we start to go into more of a leadership role, where we're understanding, we're comprehending the things of God, and God is speaking to us, and we can distinguish in between his voice and the other voices that we hear. Because remember, we always hear three voices. We hear the voice of the enemy, we hear the voice of ourselves, and we hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Which is the Holy Spirit. And the more in tune and the more we're progressing to that ultimate level is when we will be able to hear God clear, and it'll become keen. The sense will become keener to us. Well, we won't be second guessing it. We won't be judging. We will know. It's like our antenna, our ears will just stand up when we hear that. You know, and it's a challenging road, because we were all born in sin, and we were all shaped in these iniquities. Our environment, what we see our ancestors doing, what we see others that are not believers, and then we see them, it looks like their life is being blessed. It looked like they're making progress, but it's just the enemy trying to make us lust for those things that are not God. But we have to stay tuned. We have to stay focused so that we can reach that ultimate sanctification stage. Amen?
Amen.
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 Any questions or comments so far? Okay. So with us reaching that ultimate stage, how do we get there? You know, how do we get through this process and these levels? You know, what does it take to be holy, sanctified, set apart? You know, what does it take? First, we have to be relieved of the pollution of the sin that's in our lives. And when we become, and when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we can't try to, we can't compromise with it. We have to make a sound decision. Is this what God wants for my life? Does this match up with what the scriptures say? And we'll never get what the scriptures say just by going to church every now and then.
That's
we have to connect. We have to go to church on Sunday. We have to take every day. Some people, they can get in a word for an hour every day. But if it takes someone to take one scripture a week and put it on an index card and read it every day for 5 minutes until they start to get a taste of God, then that's what we have to do. We cannot go without being engaging in God's word daily, or we'll be just like a fish that's been taken out of the water. When you take that fish out the water and you put him in the net just to lift him out of the water for just a few seconds, he's flapping all around, gasping. But if you leave that fish out for over 5 or 10 minutes, he is dead. And that's what happens to our spirit, man. When we don't stay in contact with the word and we're not reading, we're not concentrating ourselves, then we are dead in the spirit. And we're subject to go with any type of wind or whatever voice pops in our head. We're subject to go and just run with it. So it's so important that we spend time with God's word, by reading his inspired word, by praying, by fasting, and being careful who we have in our circles around
That's
us,
right.
who is trying to give
That's
us
right.
ideas and things like that.
That's
because
right.
God said he set us apart.
He
didn't save us to be all by ourselves. He saved us so that we could be a witness when we do interact with the people that are not saved. And it's not about walking to them, preaching to them, giving them scriptures, but it's about showing them that agape love. Yeah. It's about showing them that you have self-control, that you can be in the environment, but your love is so great for God that you dare not want to lay back down. And it's time for us as believers to be able to take that stand and not just get the driplets of abundance, the crumbs off the table. When we go into that ultimate stage, that's when we're walking in the overflow. He said overflow. So overflow, when he say overflow to me, it made me think about I'm going to have some and I'm going to have enough to share, and it's not going to hurt me to share.
That's right.
When people come and they say, can I have this? And they ask you for a loan, and you let that go with the thought in the back of your mind that if this person don't give me this back, it's all right. And sometimes some people that, you know, with this walk with Christ, they okay with just getting a little drippings. But I want the abundance. I don't know about y'all. I want to see what it's like with the abundance. And the stories and the things that I read about in this Bible and how they were living then, how they were talking about the grapes were so heavy that people had to carry them. You carry a bag of grapes right now with one hand, but God was blessing them. You know, so I would love to experience the overflow. I would love to walk in the overflow, but I would never reach that overflow if I don't emerge myself in this process. If I don't go back to that second step and make the conscious decision to be obedient to what God's words say. Amen. Holiness, holiness, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that we have to display at all times. So how do we get to this holiness? How do we practice this? How do we practice this being obedient children? You know, not conform to the former lust that we once had, which we were once ignorant to. You know, we were ignorant. That's why we were doing these things. But once we have been conformed, how do we practice this holiness? Can anybody give me any suggestions? You know, the mic is open. How do we practice this holiness?
Doing what his word says.
That's exactly right. And Matthew 6:33 reads, it says, "But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us." These things are the spirit of God that sanctifies us. It leads us to all truth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to stand for holiness, to share that agape love, to share that peace, to share kindness, to share goodness. That holiness helps us stay faithful. We demonstrate self-control, long-suffering.
Yes.
Wisdom to know the difference and the grace to continue to grow in knowledge. We'll be forever learning and ever growing in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. And I was reading today, you know, when I think about that ultimate sanctification, I was reading 2 Timothy today on my break, and it says in the Common English Version, it says, "So my children, draw your strength from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Take the things you heard me say in front of many of the other witnesses and pass them on to faithful people who are also capable of teaching others." And it tells us to accept your share of suffering like a good soldier of Christ. So when I think about a soldier, you know, when the soldiers go out, they give them a backpack, a gun, some boots, and a helmet, and some food. And they just drop them off out there in the desert, right? And they have to find their way, and sometimes they be about to step on landmines and all kinds of stuff, but they learn how to survive. Yes, God has given us our roadmap to speak, to instruct, and to act correctly with this Bible. That's our backpack. That's our water. That's our helmet. That's our sword. That's our shoes. That's our belt. That's our breastplate. That's our shield. He's given us everything we need. Everything we need to survive. That we may be able to live holy.
Yes.
And be set apart. And to do what God has called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And it also tells us a little bit further down, it tells us about you know, to speak, to instruct, and acting correctly, and it's reminding us of these things and warn us in the sight of God not to engage in battle over words. You know, that's back to that carrot I was talking about. You know, how are you going to act when the person on your job or in your family is engaging in conversations and things that you don't want to have no part of, and they are nitpicking with you because you don't want to get involved in it, because you're saying, "No, God told me don't partake in this foolishness. This is what the scripture is telling me." You know, he tells me don't do no ungodly behavior.
That's
and don't
right.
be around people that their ideas spreads you like infection. It contaminates you. It's like cantankerous talking. And when they say, "Oh, you think you're too good to be with us," no, the God that I serve tell me that I'm supposed to love him and I'm not supposed to be engaging in this stuff. I'm supposed to be set apart. So, yes, I am. That lets you know you are doing what you're supposed to be doing because you are being set apart because you're not engaging in this stuff. And our word tells us this.
Yes.
It tells us this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Any comments?
Do you think you're too good? Well, the answer is, you know, you're set apart. But anyway, you're also serving and you're spreading the gospel. Because as they observe their behavior, it serves as a
mm-hmm.
role model. You're spreading the gospel, you're leading the individual to Christ, no matter what they say, the observation of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You
Amen.
That
Amen.
Matters, your activity. Don't deviate
mm-hmm.
from that.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide to be a drunkard or whatever the case might be, you don't have to join in that. Or engaging in backbiting and backstabbing, you don't have to participate
mm-hmm.
in that. You do the righteous thing. You follow God's law.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Amen.
Why you're a teacher and a role model, and you're a beacon mm-hmm. of light to God's word.
Because it brings conflict, it brings strife, and people get hurt. People get hurt, and from what we just went over a few minutes ago, God is love. God is not about hurting people. He's love.
Yes.
Amen.
He is love. He is love, and he's not about hurting people. He's not about a whole bunch of, you know, doing spiteful stuff. God is love. So we as believers have to understand that. We have to be living it, and we have to honor God's word, just being obedient to what God's word say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we will.
And as much as God loves us, and it's just like our father and our mother, as much as they love us, there are still consequences behind our failures and our faults.
That's
right. There are still consequences we got to face.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are not obeying the commandment of God, as he says, to sanctify ourselves from these non-believers or from people who are cursing and telling dirty jokes or people who are partaking in homosexuality or people who are partaking in all kinds of things that are against his word, then we have consequences we got to face. There's one thing that I always say that, you know, we as Christians, we think we're sanctified and set apart, but we get ourselves caught up by sinning in two ways. We sin by commission. Those are the sins that we ourselves commit. And sin by omission, the sins that we sit back and watch others do. And we as Christians are supposed to step in on that. And I know that God says to sanctify ourselves and to be holy as he is holy. And too many of us, though, think we are holier than thou, and we can't get caught up in that. We can't
step in on
somebody else messing up. But when we see somebody messing up, when we see a failure and we don't step in, then we ourselves have committed a sin and we're not as holy as we think we are. And we have therefore fallen on his commandment.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I think it's in the book of Jude. It's only one chapter in the book of Jude. And I think it's 24, verse 24, and it talks about it says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy to the only God. Okay, that's to God in the majesty. But it's saying that somewhere I was reading in there where it talks about sometimes we have to shake the person violent like a bear, which is what you're talking about. You know, we have to be our brother's keeper and encourage them in the word, you know. Encourage them in the word. And we have to speak up. We have to speak up about it. But it's a way that we can speak up about it with being graceful with it instead of making, belittling them.
Yeah, we have to do that. We have to do that in love.
In love.
When we step up to somebody. You can't try to correct somebody harshly. You have to do
That's
it
right.
in love, and you have to let them know. What I believe and what I think is that you have to let them know that you love them, but brother, you're doing this and you're doing that, and that's not of God. So you can't go at somebody raising your voice, talking down to them, treating them like trash. You have to have a knowledge of God and the sense that God has to approach somebody in that manner, I think.
And you know something else, when I was thinking about the sanctification process, it made me think about that, you know, we said it does not come from keeping the law, but it comes from God alone, because he's the one who sanctifies us. So God's way, you know, is not to take us out of the world, but to take the world from out of us.
That's right.
Introspection, right. And this separation is not a physical removal from other people, but a spiritual relocation, because we're able to tap into the spiritual world and live right here on earth too. Does that make sense?
Yes, it do.
Uh-huh. We're getting the best of both worlds here.
Amen.
When we're set apart and we're holy, because we're able to see spiritual things, and we're able to be empowered spiritually, where a person that's not set apart and don't know God, some of the stuff that we stand and we can go through, they couldn't take it. They couldn't deal with it. They wouldn't know how to deal with it. Amen?
Amen.
And I thought that was real interesting there, because it made me think about the three layers of heaven. I don't want to get into a whole nother Bible study with talking about that, but when I read that, it made me think about the three layers, you know, of heaven. But it was awesome to me to know that God loves us just that much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes,
amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it
does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of Christians using that word sanctification or to sanctify, a lot of Christians have the knowledge to say, or the, am I using the right word, have the audacity to say, I put it that way, that after they're saved, that they're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you see them in the nightclubs partying and drinking, or you see them out on the street doing all kinds of manner of things that are not of God. So you're saved, you're sanctified, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't see it, you know. And I'm not passing judgment. I'm not passing judgment on anybody, but That's just what I see here. You know, I see people in church, and I see people that say, that go up and they give their lives to Christ, and they say that they're set apart, they say that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that. I mean, the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that. And being sanctified, as you said earlier, means to be set apart. Means to, you know, stay away from. Don't get caught up in that. But yet we find ourselves getting caught up in a whole lot of stuff.
And sometimes what I notice with working in ministry with the new believers, the babes in Christ, what I notice is that it's like, Sometimes the people in the church be so busy with doing church work that they're not taking the time to actually sit down and teach. And when you said what you said, I thought about the things that I see sometimes, and they'll say, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, I'm saying in the back of my mind, do you really understand what that means?
Yeah.
Has someone
taken
the time to sit down and talk to you, and not just dropping stuff in your lap and saying, oh, you'll catch on after a while. Oh, no. Somebody got to stop for a minute and sit down with this person and actually help them or teach them how to study. You can't just keep giving people stuff and think they just know what to do with it.
Right,
because it's like little things we say. Just like I said, I hate to bring up another Bible study when I say the three heavens, but I threw something out there. And if it's somebody that's out here listening that might not want to ask what are the three heavens, and they sitting there scratching their head like, what in the world is she talking about? You know, and they have people just have to go back and take the time to explain those things and stop thinking that people will go out on their own and get it. And that's what I see a lot, especially when they're real big ministries.
Uh-huh.
And they have the people that don't know nothing about Jesus, and they just come and they get in it, and it's like they're missing that nurturing part that they really need to help them understand.
So I asked the question, how do you make disciples? You know, since you said that, I was thinking about discipleship, and the Great Commission is to make disciples. So how do you make disciples? Do you give them a Bible and say, read this? I mean, you know, that's not the way we make disciples. You make disciples by teaching and training and guiding them and leading them in the right direction. So, you know, that's one of the things that I really like about our bishop and our church is the fact that it's all about discipleship. Mm-hmm. As I said, you can't just give somebody, and as you said, you can't just give somebody a scripture and say, go read this. Because they'll be all messed up.
They sure will. And sometimes some people are not, some people don't like to read.
No.
Honestly, they don't like to read. Some people don't like to read. Some people can't read. Some people don't like messing with technology. You know, the younger generations, they were brought up on technology, you know. But some of the older people that have never really came to know Jesus, they not really into all this technology. You might just have to sit down and spend some time with them.
Spend some time with them.
Just I think about when a woman gives birth to her child, she got to spend some time with that baby. She gotta baby stuff. It's different things she has to continue. Every day she got to add something to it to teach that baby to get that child groomed. And that's how it is with the babes in Christ. When they come to Christ, we got to spend some time with them. Not just see them in church and give them a Bible study or whatever. We got to spend some time with them. Call them on Monday. Hey, dinner? You want to go to dinner? You want to do this? You know, you want to come over to my house? Let's eat together. You know, call them on a Thursday. What are you doing? You know, would you like to go look at shoes? And next thing you know, here's a conversation or whatever you want to do. That's what girls do. Girls look at shoes. But anyway, if you want to have a conversation, you can start riding down the road just talking. How your day? And you can ask little questions like that. People give you a whole, they'll pour the whole life to you. And that's when you use those times to be teachable moments to get that to help cultivate that person into what God has called them to be.
Have anybody on the line tonight thought about what she is teaching from tonight in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 8? And I want you to just go back and look at verse 7 and 8. And think about yourself, because the Bible says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." And then he says, "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them." I am the Lord which sanctify you. So, are we doing that? I mean, is that our daily walk? You know, some people say, well, I'm only human. You know, I'm only human. That's my flesh, you know. But the Bible says that we have to sanctify ourselves. And the question rises that are we sanctifying ourselves from the things of the world? Are we following this commandment? Are we keeping God's statutes? Are we keeping his commandments? Are we being obedient? Are we being holy as he is asking us to be? Are we? I mean, just think about it. Just throwing something out there, you know. Because that's what I was looking at, and that's what while you were talking, that's what I was thinking about, and that's what I was looking at. Am I doing this? I'm looking in the mirror now. Am I doing this? So,
that's
you know,
what the
so
word
I got
does.
Some work to do.
I think it's really important that fellowship, being around like people who are studying the Bible together, you know, Bible study, and actually putting things in practice. You mentioned reading some scriptures. Anyway, the scriptures could be subject to interpretation. But anyway, when you get a group of people together, you're able to talk about it. And even in the scope of daily life, whether it's going to lunch, just having conversation with people, the key word to me is fellowship, you know. That gives you an opportunity to spread the gospel, to teach. But when you teach others, you're also reinforcing or teaching, you're learning rather yourself, reinforcing God's word, that you're able to practice that. So anyway, it gets to be a two-way street. You become stronger as they become stronger. You're putting God's word to practice.
Amen. Thank y'all so much for commenting and sharing. This is really a good Bible study tonight. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Any more comments? Okay. All right. I'm going to get ready to bring this to an end. And the questions that I wanted to bring to the forefront tonight: are we pursuing holiness? Do we need to make changes in our choices? And are we willing to do so? And if we're not willing to do so, we need to ask ourselves, why not? What is holding us back? What is keeping us from doing this? And as I stated earlier, we need to be asking ourselves, are we doing church work? Or are we doing discipleship? And for closing, I just want us not to get caught up in the trap of doing things, keeping rules to become holy. But we need to set our mind on the things above and fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. Because at the end of the day, the war is over our souls. It's over our souls. It's not about the treasures that we can materialistically touch. It's about our treasures that we're storing up in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Our crowns. Because this flesh that we're in, it's gonna be gone. And our soul is going to live on forever. And we just have to make a decision on whether we're going to spend it eternity with God, or are we going to keep having the carnal mind that weighs, letting our carnal man take over our spiritual man and not being empowered by the Holy Spirit, which God has given us, so that we can stand. Christ wants to continuously increase in our lives. He wants us to die daily. His Spirit is working progressively to transform us from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
But are we willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to make those choices? Amen. So remember to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And let the Holy Spirit that indwelling within us manifest itself to bring God glory for our lives.
You also have to recognize that talent and gift that God has given you. Those gifts and talents are for a reason, whether it's your music ministry, your ability to speak, your ability to interact, counsel, to teach. There's so many gifts that you've been given, but they were given to you for a reason. And those gifts were given to you to do God's will. And not necessarily make money and be boastful, et cetera, but to serve God's purpose. Amen.
All right, Elder Clay, I'm finished with what I had to share tonight. Amen.
Amen. All I can say is that that it was definitely a teachable moment, definitely a teachable moment. And I like the idea that you're going back into Leviticus.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Amen. And keeping my statutes and doing them, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You know, and I think about that. Leviticus, you know, gets extremely deep, especially when you start talking about Molech worship, you know, taking kids, taking children and worship, you know, and worshiping them, burning them and sacrificing, you know, them at those times. And for those, Leviticus was really, really gets pretty it gets pretty deep, especially with the type of worship that was going on during the time. So I think that you brought out, you know, some very interesting points. You know, and oftentimes you don't hear, you know, many talk about Leviticus. You know, you don't hear anyone talk. You know, many people use that. It's usually, you know, other parts of the Bible, but Leviticus is one that you don't hear much about. So, you know, I do thank you for your teaching this evening and pouring into us. I can hear backgrounds. It's almost like someone is washing dishes, or I can hear things in the background, and that's homecoming on. You know, it's we can hear it, you know, on this side and go into the archives. So if you are, whatever you're doing in the background, you can't pick that up. So if you would mute your phone or whatever for the time that you're doing that, and when you get ready to speak, then you come on. Again, we hear all of that. If you go to the archives, you're going to hear all of that. Okay, so we do thank you for that. But again, thank you so much for allowing, you know, the Lord to use you. I wanted to probably just touch on in terms of discipleship. You know, when I think about discipleship, I think about four principles, and, you know, it just teach, correct, model, and love. And when we're doing that in terms of creating and
Elder, repeat that one more time. Say it one more time. Teach,
correct, model, and love. And all of this is done with humility. With humility, you know, and as we're saying, you know, as the pastor was saying, I believe it was Pastor that was saying, that Pastor Robbins was saying, you know, it's how we communicate. You know, we have to develop a relationship with someone before, you know, before we can share Christ with them. You know, there has to be
That's
a relationship,
right.
Of course. There has to be a relationship of trust. Are people just going to listen to us and feel that we're just Bible thumpers, you know, as they say?
That's right.
You know, when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to with others, you know, who are not in Christ, it takes humility. People have to know that, you know, that you're infallible, we're infallible also. I know I make mistakes. You know, I know I do.
Amen.
And I'm constantly asking God for forgiveness. Constantly.
Yes, yes.
So when we don't, you know, when we don't do that, I think that people feel that, you know, we are not authentic. We're not authentic, you know. And Luke, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. You know, and everything comes, I believe you have to sell out. You actually have to sell out, you know, for Christ, you know, because this is a spiritual warfare. So we do thank you so much, you know, for your teachings that you brought this evening. All of those you that tuned in, we'll be back next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we will be back. We would like to invite you back next Wednesday. Amen.
Amen.
I think Dr. Suzanne, she says she wants to speak next week, so she'll be bringing something. Mm-hmm. Something Lord has laid something on her heart, so she will be speaking next week. Looking forward to that. Pastor Robinson, thank you so much. It's always good hearing your voice. Please know that we continually keep you in prayer each and every time that we come on. Just want you to know that, and praying that God is just continuing to bless you and and opening up your territory and blessing the desires of your heart. So, you know, want you to know that.
I would like to share with you all when I get back from conference. I won't be on next Wednesday. I'll be away at conference, but I have something for you when I get back from conference to share.
Hallelujah. I'm looking for a testimony. Amen. So I'm looking for that testimony.
Amen. Amen. It is. Now, brother, let me tell you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Looking forward to it. And also, like, in the other testimony, we've been praying also, you know, we've had four funny people on. Stuart Hawthorne had his operation today, and it was successful, and he's doing well. So we do thank you for your prayers for that as well. Thank you so much just for your prayers. Listen, you can't thank you enough when you humble yourself and you're praying for one another. I can't thank you enough. So I do thank you for that, and I know it is only by through the grace of God, you know, that we're able to make it through. So thank you so much. Minister Ricks, you want to close us in prayer, and then you know, we're going to, you know, move on out of the way.
Yes, I would love to. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share your gospel, God. Thank you for bringing us together that we would rightly divide your word of truth, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that each listener that's listening on tonight, Lord God, that if they didn't understand something, God, I ask that they get with somebody, that you put somebody in their path that can help them comprehend the things that they didn't understand, if they didn't want to ask questions tonight on the line. Lord God, I ask you to bless New Beginnings Ministry, Lord God. I ask you to bless the speakers that come on, Lord God. Be with them. Go in front of them and pave the way, Lord God. Help them put their lessons together to bring you glory, God, to empower us, Lord God, that we will be strengthened by your word to continue to run the race and do what you have called us to do, Father. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for the testimonies that is to come, Lord God, and thank you for strengthening us to live holy. In Jesus' name we pray.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Every day is a new beginning. Pastor Robinson, we're looking forward to hearing that that testimony that you have. In fact, can you go ahead and listen to me in the coming weeks?
Good night.
God bless you.
I face the dawn.